Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear was preached on August 16th, 2020, on our special Up, In, and Out Sunday by Pastors Paul Smith, T. Wright, and Zach Meerkreeps.
All right, well, it is so good to see you. I see some people I haven't seen in a while. It's great to have Children's Ministry opening back up today. And it's a different day. And normally, if you're part of the FAC family, I say, hey, if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn to this text. And we're going to be turning to a text, and you're going to be hearing a lot of text. But today is unique to where we take time to communicate our movements as a church of up, in, and out. And I want to welcome our online community. Each Sunday, we're seeing by the results of viewership, our online community is our largest community that's gathering. And so a lot of how we design this service, we have you in mind. And so welcome this Sunday. You know, it's important that each church has to figure out how are they going to have a spiritual formation strategy? How are they going to grow up their people spiritually? And each church has to figure that out and communicate that and ask their people to join them in that. And in our prayer and discussion as a leadership team, we believe that God's called us to live up in worship, in towards each other, in discipleship, and out towards the world in mission. Now, for many of you, this will be a review. For a few, this will be brand new. And this needs to be clear to all of us. Because Jesus, through the next several weeks, will be asking many of us to take a new step or a renewed commitment in one of these aspects of your life. Now, this is what I know. We are in uncertain times. That's clear to everybody. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. Things are uncertain. We don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to play with the Bears. I mean, we don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, imagine that. But this is what I know in uncertainty. We are all uncertain, but as followers of Jesus, we are not unclear on how he's called us to live. You see, what do you do when things are uncertain? You look for clarity. When you have situational uncertainty, you go to directional clarity from the one who's over it all. And the one who's over it all and control of it all is Jesus. And he's been very clear on how we are to live and how we are to prioritize. And his clarity came from that text that was read in Mark. He says, this is what you prioritize all of the time. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. There's not a situation where that's not priority number one. And you love your neighbors yourself. Meaning you look out for others. You look out and you be in relationship with others. And one of the things that I do know is that high uncertainty, there's the temptation to cool our commitment to that which Jesus has given clarity to. It's like we sometimes uncertainty, if you just get permission to just kind of cool down on the things that Jesus has been clear about. And that cannot be the case. Because this is what I know. We will become that which we repeatedly do, either as an individual, as a group. How you invest your time, the commitments that you make, the commitments that you break. We are the sum total of our commitments in our lives. Because we become as individuals and as people that which we repeatedly do. And if you're new to First Alliance, you're just investigating this journey with us, we're going to ask you to move up in worship, in towards each other in discipleship, and out towards the world in mission. And you're going to hear from three presenters today. I'm just kind of opening things up. I'm going to talk and give clarity of what this means. What do we say when we move up towards God in worship? What do we mean by that? This is what it looks like for us. Is that you'd have the commitment to that you regularly gather for worship with others in your church family. Now, in this season, gathering, not all of us can gather here, so we've had to take this gather there, meaning people's homes. They've gathered with their family, and they've imagined their extended church family throughout Lexington and then also throughout the world. But when you have a commitment, a firm commitment, that regularly I'm going to meet with my church family for worship because God finds it important. One of the things we see in Hebrews chapter 10 is he said this, let us not give up meeting together. The writer of Hebrews, the pastor of this church says, let's not give up on that. These were uncertain times. These were hard times for these Christians. And he says, it's some are in the habit of doing, But when you gather, encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. That as you see the day when Jesus is going to come back, you need one thing in your life, and that's encouragement from other Christians to keep going. And if you don't have that in your life, that encouragement won't come. And encouragement means to put strength in, to deposit strength into another. And that's what happens when we gather, that you hear from God's word, you look up to God in worship, you see that someone's magnificent and glorious and over it all, and the encouragement comes. There was a study by Duke University that on looking at people's lives who regularly gathered for worship. How are they different than those who just didn't gather for worship, that didn't have that weekly rhythm of in their life? They saw that they were healthier physically, they slept better, their relationships were better, their finances were better, their kids were well adjusted, and there was like 17 things. And the very end of the study showed that a regular mid-course correction, you know, your train of your life doesn't get off the tracks because you have someone speaking truth into your life on a regular basis, somebody kind of pulling you back in decisions on a regular basis, and we need that in our lives to become the people that God's called us to be. To the nation of Israel, as they were learning how to be people of God, one of the commandments he gave them, he says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy in Exodus 20. And in that text, he goes on to say, for remember, I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. And he connects keeping the Sabbath with their deliverance from Egypt. You see, in Egypt, they were in slavery, and they worked 7 days a week. There was no day off. And them setting apart a day reminded them of their deliverance by their God. And us taking a day to gather, to worship, to hear truth, reminds us that there's a God who sent Jesus, who allowed us to be free from the slavery of sin, that we set it apart, we keep it holy, that we look up to him. And normally it's like, if there's any other option, I'll miss church. No, church is the reason to miss every other option. So what do you mean? By look up, regularly gather for worship with others in your church family. Have that firm commitment. Here's the last one. What does it look like? Each person playing a part in us being a prayer-fueled church. One of our hopes is that when people talk about First Alliance, that they, in our community, they say what God does in that church happens in that church because those people pray. Now, that's hard in this time of where social distance. Prayer nights, we'll still invite you to come and pray. Pray in your mask. Pray in your small groups. Pray around your dinner tables. Pray as individuals, that you would just keep the commitment of being a people of prayer. One of the things that has encouraged me so much is that I know that there are people in this church, independently of directions from the pastors, have just said, you know what, we're going to go meet with people on their front porch, say socially distanced, and just go pray with people in our life of our congregation. And that's how God begins to move in the life of a local church, and it begins to impact the world. Let us remember that the one thing that the disciples asked of Jesus was, Jesus, teach us to pray. Because they saw that everything that Jesus did was birthed and flowed out of his life of prayer. And so it is for you and I. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We're just not called to be human doings. We're called to live out the supernatural life of God inside of us and produce that fruit in the world. And Colossians says this, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Don't give up. Have that firm commitment in your life. Now, we don't know what the future holds, but this is one of the best leadership advice I've ever received. And it came from a statement by Lewis and Clark. As they made their way across exploring the U.S., each morning they got up. They didn't know what was around the next bend. They didn't know if it would be a bear, a moose, a river, a mountain. They didn't know. So how do you live in that world of uncertainty? And he says, this is what you do. He says, when you don't know what the future holds, there's one thing you can do, and there's one thing you must do, and that's work on the quality of your relationships. So when you do step into the future, that those relationships are strong, Those relationships are fortified, and you can experience that future together. And we've got a lot of steps that you can take in the life of our church. And T. Wright's going to come in just a little bit about how you can take a step and work on the quality of your relationships with your marriage, your children, or the person that God's called you to do life with as a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Good morning. As Paul said, my name's T. Wright. I'm the pastor of discipleship here at FAC, or the pastor of N, as we also like to call it. And from my completely objective, non-biased perspective, I by far have the best job here at FAC. And I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes telling you why that is. So buckle up. No, I'm not going to do that. But I do believe I have the best job here at FAC, primarily because I get to be a part of the discipleship process, at least in some capacity, for just about every single person who comes through our doors, right? As a discipleship pastor, I have the privilege and the responsibility of serving alongside and leading those who lead all of our various ministries. So I get a chance to speak into nursery, preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, college, young professionals, adult education, men's ministry, women's ministry, life groups, congregational care, freedom ministry, and boomers. All of that I get to be a part of in some form or fashion. So I've made the decision that I by far have the best job here on staff, and no one can convince me otherwise. But as you can tell just by the list that I've rattled off, is that we have a lot going on here when it comes to Inn and all the offerings that we have. We have something for people of all ages, from birth to boomers and everything in between. The opportunities for you guys to experience discipleship in community with one another, right? And that's our hope. That's our desire. That's a huge part of our discipleship strategy, that you guys would move in towards each other in discipleship. Because, right, that's how discipleship happens. It does not happen in isolation from one another. That's at least not how it was originally designed. When Jesus found Peter on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he didn't go to Peter and say, okay, Peter, here's what we're going to do. I've written this book. I'm going to hand you this book. I'm just going to ask that maybe 30 minutes a day you spend some time reading the book, just highlight some portions, maybe memorize some stuff. I've also developed this really cool reading plan that goes along with it. After that, you just pray for maybe 30 minutes, and then just day in and day out do this. You know, I'm not going to be around for very much longer, so you're going to have to kind of go at it alone. But just day in and day out, if you do this, by the end of your life, you're going to look exactly like me. It's a great program. I'm super excited. You know, do you want to sign up? No, he didn't do that. He didn't design it that way. He immediately started to form community, right? He immediately started to form a group, started to call Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew into a place where they would experience community and be under his leadership and guidance together. And he did this to show them, I believe, that not only are they going to be shaped and formed and grow by being around Jesus and by listening to him and observing what he does, but that they'll be shaped and formed and grow by being around each other, right? By sharing resources with one another, by encouraging one another, by praying for one another, protecting one another, bearing each other's burdens, being vulnerable with one another, holding each other accountable, challenging each other. He knew that they would live out the rest of their days growing and serving together, and that they would find their strength in numbers as they navigated this new life he had called them to. Jesus knew they needed each other back then, and he knows that we need each other still today, because we simply grow up into the person of Christ much faster when we are together than when we are in isolation. Just think about all the things that you don't have access to when you isolate yourself from other Christians and try to go at it alone. You don't have anyone praying for you, no one encouraging you, no one holding you accountable, no one challenging you, no one rejoicing with you, no one mourning with you, no one pushing you or pulling you towards Christ's likeness. It's very clear that Christianity was designed not as an individual exercise, right? It's a team sport. So, on Up In and Out Sunday, and specifically as it relates to Inn, we're pushing you. I am pushing you to find that group, find that community within our community that you can grow in and serve in. And so you'll be able to see all that we have to offer and hear more about each of our ministries when you watch the digital content that we put together for the virtual ministry fair. That'll be something that you definitely want to check out. Now, some of you, and most of you as I kind of look out, already have that growing group that you're a part of, right? And just so there's no confusion when you watch this content, the growing groups are those ministries that I kind of listed already, the ones that we have in place. Many are age-based, and then some are designed around a specific purpose. And many of you even have more than one, and that's great. You're in adult ed, and you're in a life group. You're in men's ministry. You're in boomers. You're in adult ed, and you're in women's ministry. So some of you have more than one. But for those of you who are not yet part of a growing group, it's our desire that you are in at least one of those, right? At least in one group where you're growing together in Christ-likeness and encouraging each other as you pursue him. And this is something that also that I really want to stress with regards to growing group, and I think it's really important in that we can add new ones, right? The ones that we have, yes, they're longstanding and they've been around forever, but you being a part of FAC can come to me with a need and we can work together to create a new group, a new ministry. That process of like creating and shaping and molding and developing an idea into an actual ministry is really fun for me. And so I want you to come to me with your ideas and be a part of that exciting process. I encourage it. I welcome it. And quite frankly, it's needed, right? We're in, as Paul kind of alluded to, a unique context, a unique situation, and we don't really know what the church experience is going to be like, at least for the next several months, as we've kind of been forced into this hybrid, in-person, online way of doing ministry. So I welcome your creativity, your solutions, your dreams. I know that you have them, and I want to work with you to kind of form new opportunities that we can minister to the body. So, and then shifting gears just a bit, we're going to ask of you something new moving forward. I think you saw it maybe on that commitment group, and that is that not only that you commit to a growing group, but that you commit to a serving group, and this is part of your in experience here. You also commit, yeah, to the serving group, and of course, this is where it's self-explanatory, where you spend yourself for the sake of others, right? Where you spend yourself for the benefit of others, where you volunteer so that maybe even someone can participate in their own growing group or in their own up experience. So, and there's many ways that you can do that, just in the same way that there are many growing groups, there are many serving groups. We have a ton of opportunities. You can serve on the worship team. Now, this one is not for everyone. I auditioned for Zeke when he joined the staff, and he told me, "You will never, ever, ever serve on my team." So I thought that was a touch harsh, but, you know, I'm not as musically gifted as he is, and so he's told me that. But no, there's just we have a ton of options. You can join our tech team. Maybe you need to be behind the scenes like me with Steve. You can do guest services, congregational care. Jessica can put you on the visitation, the prayer, the meal team. You can teach a class. You know, we have classes in adult ed that we hope to kind of bring online again soon. You can lead a uniquely focused prayer group. You can lead a life group. You can start a new ministry. We have a ton of needs there. We have a super pressing need that we talked about last week with our nursery and preschool. Obviously, 1st through 12th grade is back. Our nursery and preschool couldn't come back because we didn't have the volunteers to do so. Now, the volunteers that couldn't come back really wanted to. It's not that they didn't. It's just we're obviously in a unique situation where some people can, and we respect that. But the need still remains. We still need that 7 to 8 people to step into that role and serve. So growing groups and serving groups, they're just not limited to what we already have in place. Our serving groups, we can create new ways to serve as well. So just in the same way that we create new growing groups, we can create new serving groups to serve both our body and our community at large. So that's my 10 minutes. That's all I got. just encouraging you guys to continue to move in towards each other in discipleship if you haven't already. Find that place where you can grow and serve in community with others. We have so many things going on here, good things as it pertains to our discipleship process at FAC, but I firmly believe that that experience, that process will be more beneficial for each of you as the more of you become involved.
When I was in college, I had the opportunity to take about a year and a half off and explore my call to missions. I thought maybe I would be a full-time missionary overseas, and I got the opportunity to go to a lot of different places all over the globe and do different kinds of ministry. And this one day, I found myself in the hills of a foreign country, and we were showing the Jesus film later that day. We had hiked in, we had set up for the film, and then we were going to spend the afternoon in prayer, spending time talking to the Lord about what he had for us that night and what he had for this village who had never heard the name of Jesus ever. They had never heard the gospel. They had never heard that the Son of God came from heaven and came in the form of a child and grew up, did ministry on earth, and went to the cross carrying our sin and shame. He died on the cross and he went into the grave for 3 days. And on that third day, he rose again victoriously to reconcile us back to the Father. They had known no part of that. And we were there. And of course, what am I doing? I'm praying and I'm asking for just the creature comforts of a soda. God wants to know the desires of my heart. So I was telling him I missed a good cold soda. So I went to my connect there. He was our translator. And I said, you know, this is a crazy idea, but do you guys have a soda? Do you have a Coke? And he actually did have a Coke. So he handed me the Coke and I took the Coke back up to the hill and I started talking to the Lord about this experience. I started just asking him, you know, Lord, what do you want us to learn tonight? What do you want to teach me as a young man? What do you want to teach this village? And he started, I feel, talking to me about this Coke. And I started feeling this strong conviction, this crazy conviction that someone believed in the message, the Coca-Cola so much that Coca-Cola had beat the gospel to this village. That Coca-Cola had beat the name of Jesus being proclaimed in boldness and power. We had a Coke in that village. And that started stirring in me in deep conviction that we have a call on our life, not just a strategy, not just a little like project of the church, but a call on every Christian's life to go forth and make disciples among the nations. Now, you can take a deep breath. We're not going to close down church. We're not going to close down Old Higbee Mill Road location and say, hey, we're all going to Himalayas. We're all going to Kabul. We're all going to Thailand, whatever. We're not doing that, though someone right now might feel called to go to the nations, and I would celebrate that. But the very act of today, the very opportunity to communicate that we move up towards God in worship, in towards one another in discipleship, and out towards the world in mission is ultimately not for me to launch a strategy to explain what our department does, but to share that this is a conviction of our heart. A posture of every Christian's heart is a burden for the lostness around them. What if God wants to break that in you tonight, this morning? What if God wants to convince you of that today? That there is lostness around you, that there is the reality that people need Jesus in your work, in your school, in your neighborhoods, or maybe in our nation and the globe. It's a conviction, not just a program. Because ultimately in the Western church and in many communities, mission becomes a department or a staff person or an agenda of a senior pastor. But in fact, if we look at the church, God has a mission and a vehicle is the church. There's a mission and the vehicle is the church. We have to believe that. And we so many times condense it to just a department. God has a mission. Some people call it Missio Dei. That's Latin, so we can sound smart, but ultimately, the mission of God, and we have lots of definitions of that, but how I define the mission of God is God doing whatever it takes to reconcile all of creation back to himself. God doing whatever it takes to reconcile all of creation back to himself. He uses the church. He uses worship. He uses discipleship. He uses strategies that we're asking for you to be invested in. But ultimately, he's reconciling people back to himself in Lexington, in your schools, in your neighborhoods, in this nation, and around this globe. That's his mission. And would we stir in our hearts, would we allow the Holy Spirit to stir in our hearts a conviction of that? It reminded me of a story in early on in Jesus' public ministry in Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. I'm going to read it real quick. I'm in the NLT. It reads, Jesus traveled through all of the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields." I see a couple aspects in Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. First, when we talk about this heart conviction, it comes from a compassion, a heartbreak. The Greek word actually talks about like a guttural, deep pity for the people. Do you have that kind of compassion for those around you? What if the Holy Spirit on this Sunday doesn't have you sign up for a new gig or way to serve, but develops in you this well of compassion for those around you? So he has compassion for those that he sees, that they're sheep without a shepherd. And that's a conviction. He's convinced that they have something, that they need something that Jesus can provide. And I wonder if we're convinced that we actually have something that people need. I was reading today in a Barna research project around evangelism that around 58% of millennials and younger feel that it's wrong to share their faith. We have to be convinced that we have something for people to know, something that will solve the problem, that will save them from everything that they're afraid of. We have an answer. Now, also Jesus has compassion, he has a conviction, and then he calls us to pray for more workers. He declares that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And in the next chapter, in chapter 10, he gathers his 12 disciples and he calls them out to do some work. He calls them out and gives them authority to cast out demons, heal the sick, to cleanse the leper. We have a call. So what would it look like on Up In and Out Sunday for us to allow worship and discipleship to cultivate a status of our heart, a conviction, a posture of compassion and conviction and a full awareness of our call? The beautiful thing about what we're doing is ultimately Up In and Out is just this big, conjumbled, cyclical mess of movement. We move up towards God in worship, but worship is devotion and a response to his call. So when we move out, it's actually an act of worship, and in is the very thing we're inviting people into, this godly relationship, this godly community. It all works together and it feeds off each other. So as we respond today, would we move up towards God in worship through devotion to his call? Would we move in towards one another to be sent back out? And would we move out to invite people in? So there's some ways that you could respond real quick. The first is pray. Ask God to develop a compassion and a conviction in your heart to remind you of your call. Also, invest. Sign up. We have a virtual ministry fair later today, and there's lots of opportunities to serve. We pray that you would invest, that you would say yes, that you would take the risk. And last but not least, experience. Experience mission. Experience God at work in our midst and partner with him. Come alongside him. Along with experience, mission, I would say experience community. Be around people that live on mission with you. And we hope to do that at this church. So, First Alliance Church, would we move up towards God, in towards one another, and out towards the world, boldly, convinced, compassionate, and called. In Jesus' name.
So up in and out is not something we're just asking you to fill up your calendar with. We see these in the life of Jesus, and we want to live like Jesus. We want to become like Jesus as individuals and collectively together. I want to wrap up with just something I received this week from our denomination's president, John Stumbo. I was on the phone with him this week, and he said, we were talking about the pandemic and how it's affecting churches. And he said, Paul, this reminds me of the experiences that I had when I visited Haiti after the hurricane, and also the churches after the wildfires that hit California. He said, the group reaction's very common, and it's very critical that we understand. He said, what happens is when something shocks a community, there's this overwhelming sense of now what, and seeking to understand. And then quickly after that, there goes to high morale. We gather together and we believe. But that is short-lived. Then it goes into despair. Despair because they know there's no heroes going to ride in on a white horse and make everything better quickly. There's no silver bullet. That this is a long-haul journey. And in the despair is the critical moment. Because in there, you can get into depression. You can go back on some commitments. You can regress as an individual or group. Or you can turn in on each other as a group. And he says it's the despair moment that the group has to understand at that moment. The future's up for grabs. And how they respond in the times when it's hard and difficult. And how they respond when it's just, this is going to last longer than I ever expected. Will determine if their future's better and what God and they experience what God has for them, or they possibly miss out and they regress. See, and I think this is hard. None of us like worshiping in mask. We want it to go back to the old way. But I think we have to be excited and be calling out for God, what's the new thing? The new thing that you're gonna birth through this. That you never waste a problem, you never waste a circumstance. Things that are difficult, he can use for our good. So I say to all of us, keep stepping towards what God has for you as an individual. Collectively, let's keep stepping towards what God has it for us together. It'll look different. But out of God's fatherly love for us, we should have great anticipation of what that's going to look like in the experiences that we will have as we go up in and out and mission in this world. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and let's worship. And Father God, we are uncertain, but we're not unclear. And so I pray that we take each individual in the group the step that you've called us to take. That we these form our lives into the person of Jesus Christ. Because when we live in obedience to you, the future's not up for grabs. Because you control. You're sovereign over all things. And we rest in you. And we're courageous as we live in you. And the church said together, amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's great commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.